Happy birthday to Matt Christie, 50 years of age. Where's Matt? Down there. Good on you, Matt. Happy birthday, mate. Can't believe you're 50 years of age. We had an amazing night here last Sunday night when we did Light to the World. We had a bunch of people from our community here, people that shop in our co-op on a weekly basis. We gave out hams. We gave out these hampers over here, a whole bunch of those. We've still got hundreds of hampers that we've got to give out. I don't know, we probably gave out about $5,000+ worth of hampers that we have to give out. We'll be giving these out at our Christmas. That deserves a hand, Matt. Good on you. The real is one clap, everyone claps in our church. So we'll be giving out hampers on our Christmas Eve service. So you come to the service for an hour, you get a hamper to take home. That's a good deal, isn't it? That's like Jesus feeding the 5,000 or whatever on the mountain. So that's good. Love to see you at Christmas Eve. If you could possibly make it, that would be wonderful. I want to welcome my very, very good friends today. Pastor John Riewoldt on the front row all the way from Rockhampton. John's an amazing friend to our church here, a personal friend of mine and Cheryl's for many, many years now. We go back to the mid-80s when John for a short time was in a youth group that I ran in Gladstone many, many years ago. So we kind of grew up in the same region. So we get each other. It's kind of weird. We get each other and really love each other. Good to have Pastor John here today. Give Pastor John a big hand. And also, he's brought along some very good friends also, Heath and Narelle, who have come. They're also from Yeppoon, Rockhampton area, and been great friends with Pastor John and still are today, and they're here with us. Give them a big hand also. Great to see you guys, have you along with us today. Well, our theme for this year is Grace Among Us, which is the real script of the Christmas story as told throughout the Bible, is that God's gift to us is His Son, which is literally grace among us in this season at Christmas time. And we've been saying this for a few weeks now, and it's an oldie but it's a goodie, is the fact that Jesus didn't come for a season, He came for a reason. There's a reason why Jesus came, and there's a reason why we continue to celebrate this Christmas event, the story that was announced Joseph in a dream was this. This is the truth and the essence behind the coming of Jesus, that Mary, his wife, would give birth to a son, and he was to give him the name Jesus because he will save the people from their sins. That's the reason Jesus came into the world. The simplicity and the complexity of it is that Jesus, God's only son, came into the world to forgive the world of their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive. Think about that. That messes with my head. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, this Christmas account, the Christmas historical event, has profound and eternal effect on humanity, not because of a stable, not because of donkeys, not because of the shepherds, not because of anything else. But this Bethlehem story, what it was actually heaven's covert operation to send God's Son, God's love, God's light, God's mercy, and God's grace into our everyday lives. Now think about it. In the day of Jesus, when he was born, the times, the Bible tells us that the times were very dark and they were very difficult days, because the people of Judea, the people of Jerusalem, they lived under the oppression of the Roman government. If people today think we live under oppression, we know nothing about oppression compared to the Roman government and how they ruled in that day when Jesus was born. The people of Judea were demoralized, they were depressed, and they were strictly ruled by the Roman government as to what they could do, as to where they could go, and as how they lived, and everything was ruled strictly by them. There were times of uncertainty, there were times of insecurity, times of segregation, times of isolation, sound familiar? Times of segregation and isolation, times of confusion, challenge, and chaos. Our world today is filled with these kinds of things. Our world today is filled with chaos and challenge and difficulty, uncertainty and insecurity. I mean, we're about to leave a year and enter a new one, 2022. And we have no idea what it's going to look like because we've opened the borders. We have no idea what's going to happen, really. We just don't know. So we're kind of nervously walking into 2022 with a level of confidence, but understanding we need to be fluid and flexible. Turn to your neighbor and say, be fluid. Be flexible. Be fluid and be flexible if you're going to make it in 2022. So this season that we're still continuing to live with has been a season of, it's really been oppressive to many, many people. Life change has been introduced that they didn't want, didn't welcome, didn't see coming. And it's been a difficult time, and it is a difficult time. It's a time of uncertainty, confusion, and challenge. Even segregation and isolation has been introduced into our community and our society, which is anti everything we believe and represent as God's church. A season of unwanted controls that have been placed upon our freedoms. I think with all that being said, I think the hope of Jesus, the Christmas event, speaks loudly and clearly with a spirit of hope for our world today, for every one of us. The question that we've been considering as a church over the last few weeks has been this, is how should we respond in this Christmas season? How should we live? It's a question the Bible asks or answers in regards to a number of things. Like the Bible says, in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back soon, how should we then live as the church? So this is the same kind of question. In light of what's going on in our world, how should we represent Jesus? What should we do? And what we've suggested is we should do exactly what Jesus did. We should be same as Jesus. Because Jesus, in those dark times, he brought heaven's culture, he reflected it, he represented it because he was it, he brought it to his world, and the light of God, the Bible says, it shined in the darkness. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to shine. Turn to your neighbor and say, shine. Shine. We're called to shine in these dark times. Pastor Marichelle used a quote last week, which is a quote that a friend of mine used that I'm going to use again today. And the quote is this: as much as I want to see Christ in Christmas, I want to see Christ in Christians. As much as I want to see Christ in Christmas, that's the cry of the church every Christmas. We want to see Christ in Christmas. Above and beyond that, what we want to see and what God wants to see is Christ in us. Christ in us. As Christians, you see, Christians without Christ are just Ians. That was too quick for some of you. Some of you hadn't had enough coffee yet. But Christians without Christ are just Ians. And apologies if your name is Ian, but don't be an Ian. Be like Jesus and let the light of God's Spirit shine in you. We're not just called to live the Christmas spirit, we're called to live the Christ spirit. You see, Merry Christmas should actually be called Merry Christ in us. Merry Christ in us, it should be, because that's what the Christmas story is really all about. And so our series, our sermon series and conversations over the past month has all been about God's grace being among us. We've been celebrating all things Jesus, not just the life of Jesus, but the lifestyle that Jesus... You know, Jesus came to bring you style. He came to bring you style, a life style. Have you got the style? Not just the life. A life style that you can live and that you can represent. And so we've been very intentionally breaking it down and making it practical every week. So to show how we live this lifestyle of Christ in us, because we want the how-to to be understood. Once again, Pastor Marichelle used a word, a Greek word. She went into the Greek. I can't believe it. Dangerous territory to ever go into the Greek. And she went into the Greek and she unfolded a word for us from the Bible in terms of its Greek background. And it's a Greek word, houtos, which means This is how we do this. This is how we show this. It's the demonstration. It's the how-to. It's not concerned about the magnitude of something. It's concerned about the method or the methodology. And particularly in terms of... So Houtos is, it's not about how much, it's about how. And we went to John 3:16. This is where Houtos is used for God so. The word so is the word Houtos in the Greek. And the transliteration of that means this is the how of God loved the world. Not just the depth or the extent of it, that's mentioned in other places, but how God loved the world was that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but they would have everlasting life. And so we want to give you the how-to. The how-to, not just knowledge, but the how-to, the application of how to live this Christ spirit in our everyday lives. And so we started week one talking about when Jesus came, it was love reaching down, which is what Jesus always does. He always reaches down. We use the word stooped. He stooped. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery and was thrown before Jesus while he was doing a Bible class with all these accusers standing around and pointing a finger at her. The Bible says that Jesus stooped down. He got lower than anyone else. If you're going to live this Christian walk, you're going to have to learn to get low. How low can you go? That's the key for the Christian journey. It's not about how high you climb. In actual fact, the heights you climb are because of the depths you go. And so low is the way in terms of the Christian walk. And so we talked about love reaching down being what Jesus did. And he will always do it. Then we talked about being light to the world and shining our light. Not only is Jesus the light to the world, but you and I are light to the world. Everywhere you go, you shed light, you shine light, you reflect Jesus in everything that you do. Today, our focus is all about mercy touching earth. When Jesus came, that mercy touched earth. You know, this phrase... it perfectly describes the intervention that God initiated when Jesus came into our world as described in the Christmas story. That Jesus would come and bring a new way of responding to brokenness. A new way of responding to the brokenness of humanity, the brokenness of our world, the brokenness of people's lives. That Jesus would come and he would be God in action. He would be somebody we could watch and see and learn. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. And wherever he went, whatever he did, his mercy touched the earth. Pope Francis, I don't often quote him, but Pope Francis said this: Jesus Christ is the face of God's mercy. Jesus Christ is the face of God's mercy. Today I want to talk to you very simply and quickly about mercy. Mercy is compassion in action. Mercy is compassion in action. Mercy is very closely linked, very closely associated to kindness and compassion. Mercy is actually founded on having a heart for people, on caring for people. That's the first base of mercy, is to have compassion. A lot of people have compassion, but they don't have mercy. I know I'm confusing you, but we'll get there. A lot of people have compassion, but they don't really have biblical mercy applying in their life. You see, compassion is feeling concern for someone's distress or misfortune. We often feel that. When we hear someone's sad story, we feel for them. That's compassion. You've got to feel before you get involved. Feeling is where it starts, but don't let feeling be where it stops. That's the truth of the scriptures. So compassion is feeling it. It's feeling the pain. Whereas mercy is compassion in action. It's compassion acted on. It's compassion activated. So mercy is doing it, not just feeling it. I think the church is good at feeling it, but not good at doing it. And there's a big difference between doing it and feeling it. A big, big difference. Mercy is acting to alleviate the suffering. Mercy is getting down and getting dirty and getting dusty. Mercy is getting involved. Yeah. Mercy is not walking past and ignoring, but mercy is stopping, stooping, and saving. And so there is a big difference in feeling it and doing something about it. Mercy in the Bible involves the thought of someone releasing, someone forgiving, or assisting someone that they in some way hold a power or authority over. In other words, you're in a position of authority where you can release them from a debt, from a wrong, a misdemeanor, or whatever it might be. And you show them mercy by releasing them. It's releasing someone of a penalty that's due. I've had the privilege a number of times of sitting in spaces in life where I've seen mercy handed out, and it's astounded me every time. I've sat in courtrooms where people have received a judgment and a sentence, and the judge has said, I sentence you to 15 years jail. I sentence you to do 15 years, but I now also suspend your sentence. And when that has happened, and it's happened to me several times, I've sat there gobsmacked as a witness of what was happening in that courtroom, and I've walked away thinking, I've never been in a more God moment than that moment. To see someone that's guilty released and set free. That is a beautiful picture of what mercy is. It's compassion acted on. So mercy is not giving the guilty what they deserve. Now that little phrase that is so divine, it's not funny. It's so divine that our humanness can't comprehend it really. That mercy is not giving the guilty what they deserve. Because in my humanness, I always want to give the guilty what they deserve. I want to give the guilty what they deserve. Because why? They deserve it. It's logic. It's rational. But divinity and God's way is higher than our ways. It's beyond our understanding and my thought processes. That's why it messes with my head so much. And that's why God's got to get into my heart. And God's got to make me feel it. And feel it and feel it until I'm ready to embrace it and act upon it and do something about it. You know, mercy is actually the context for many of Jesus' teachings. Many of the truths that Jesus shared were centered around mercy. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells the story of the unmerciful servant who owed a whole bunch of money, like a lot of money. To somebody, and he was forgiven that debt. And the Bible tells how then he went and found someone that owed him a few bucks and demanded that he pay it, and the man couldn't pay it, so he had him thrown into prison. And Jesus tells the story to teach us to forgive others. Why? Because we've been forgiven ourselves. You know, I think one of the things that really helps us embrace mercy is just to understand how merciful God has been to us. Understand how merciful God has been to us. That's why Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 in terms of the revelation and the mind transformation that takes place. He says, in light of God's mercies. In other words, in light of everything God has done for you, is it too much to ask? Is what Paul appeals to in terms of that. So this story is about forgiving because we've been forgiven so much. And then Jesus says this. He says, be merciful even as your Father in heaven is merciful. We're all called to be merciful. Merciful is not just for the feely people. Do you know what I mean by feely people? Some people are feely people. They're like huggers and they really hurt for everybody and they care for everybody and they cry over everybody. I'm not that. That's not my personality. I'm more structured. I'm more analytical. I'm more bland, beige, boring. I got all sorts of stuff going on about that. And so it's not me naturally, but the God work in me breaks that. Because God wants us all to be merciful. God wants us all to be people of mercy. So mercy for me is always a wow, wow moment. Can I tell you a little wow moment that happened on Sunday night? I've got to tell you because Pastor Marichal just held up a big white piece of paper and said, tell that story. So I've got to tell the story. On Sunday night, we had a family here. I've never seen them before. The husband, the dad had hair down to here, like down to there. Nothing wrong with hair down to there. Good on you if you can grow hair down to there. And he grew all the way down his back. And his wife was with him, and a little boy who was about 5-6 years of age. And he also had hair right down to his back, the boy. And when the boy went up to Santa to get a gift, we gave him a girl's present because we thought he was a girl, but he was a boy. And so Mum comes up to me and says, look, I don't mean to be rude or unthankful, but would it be possible we could exchange the gift because he's a boy, not a girl. And we went, oops, let's fix that up. So gave the gift to Pastor Marichal. I said, can you exchange this, please, quick? And she went and got a boy gift for him, and he's happy. He opens the gift. At the end of the night, everyone say at the end of the night, the mum and dad come up to me. Their faces are beaming. This little kid is smiling like a Cheshire cat. And they said, look, thank you so much for what you did today. This is amazing. You know, hampers. They're walking out with handfuls of bags of hampers of food and a big smile on their face. We've fed their belly. The kids been on the jumping castle. They've had a great time. And they said, you wouldn't believe it. But they said, before coming tonight, this week, our son received a gift where he got a puppet theatre stage, you know, like a, you know, the old style puppets. He got a theatre stage, puppet stage thing, right? She said, but he's got no puppets. And guess what the present was that he opened tonight? It was puppets, hand puppets. And Mum said, Santa must have known. I said, no, Jesus knew. Jesus knew exactly. And so whoever bought the puppet gift, good on you. Good on you. The puppets mightn't have meant a whole lot to anyone else, but to that boy was everything. It's a wow, wow moment, isn't it? What a good deal. Give a big hand. So, where was I before I was interrupted? Mercy is always a wow. No more interruptions, please. A wow, wow moment. Whenever you see mercy, it's a wow, wow moment. When we see mercy in action, it always takes our breath away. Every time I've seen it, it's like, wow, that's what we should be doing. That's what we need to do as a church, as Christians. That's what I need to do. Nothing is more divine than a moment of mercy. Nothing is more godlike. Nothing is more gracious than mercy. Nothing is more compelling than mercy. Nothing is more attractive than when the church is merciful and we are merciful. You know, many times when you witness an act of mercy, you're left thinking, what the heck just happened? I can't believe I saw that. I can't believe that someone did that for somebody. Because mercy is always a wow moment. The next big thought about mercy is this, is mercy always triumphs over judgment. Mercy always, would you say always? Always triumphs. It's a trump card. Trump card over judgment. You know, the problem with our Western world is not that the unchurched don't know Christians. The problem is they do. The problem's not that they don't know us. The problem is they do. And I've heard it many times and you've heard it too. The problem is they don't like us. Because we've often been better at judgment than we have mercy. Often what they felt from the church is judgment and finger pointing. And literally, they've had the wrong Jesus presented to them. And we need to correct that. Because the Jesus I see in the pages of the book looks very little like the Jesus that sometimes believers present to the world around them. You see, Jesus personified the fusion of grace and truth. In Jesus, grace and truth are perfectly fused together. They are inseparable. Mercy only works when grace and truth are fused together. See, grace requires truth, and truth requires grace. And this is what the Bible says about Jesus coming. It says in John 1:14, it says the Word, that's one of his names, the Word. So in other words, Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, listen to this, full of what? Grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. You know, fusing grace and truth for humans is not natural. Judgment is natural for us. Mercy is divine, and that's why we need God's help to live lives that are driven by mercy. Unfortunately, oftentimes we've been better at pointing a finger than extending the hand. Jesus had a lot to say about that. He said, deal with the pole in your own eye before you want to deal with the speck in someone else's. So if you consider your own as a pole and theirs as a speck, it helps bring a godly perspective. Don't mix the pole and the speck up in terms of who owes what. It'll help you be living a mercy-driven life. Listen to what James says. James says this about mercy. He says, judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. In other words, James is saying, if we run around judging, then we're going to be judged severely ourselves. And mercy is the trump card. Mercy is the life and the lifestyle that God wants us to live, because mercy always delivers better outcomes. Mercy treats the people around your world. Mercy treats the community and the society as God would have it be treated. You see, the presence of judgment almost always guarantees an absence of love. When you judge, it's very difficult to be in a loving posture. Have you ever noticed that people who judge almost never help, and people who help almost never judge? So when you're involved, you just don't have time for judgment when you're involved. When you're involved, you're involved. You're fully engaged with this world, being the love and the life of Jesus. Because judgment creates a line. It creates a narrative. It creates a story. And that story, that line, that narrative normally goes something like thinking that you are better than, you are smarter than, you are more righteous than the person that you're trying to help. And the reality is, we're all in this together. We all need God. Everybody's broken. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs God's Spirit. Mother Teresa said this: when you spend all your time judging people, you have no time to love them. You've got to lay that judgment down. You've got to lay it down so that you can be mercy and be literally the face of Jesus to people. These are the instructions Jesus gave to his disciples about this. He said in Matthew, is that the one I want? Yeah, Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And then he gave these instructions in Matthew 9. He says, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not to offer sacrifices. Jesus shared this thought in response to a question he'd received from the Pharisees about him eating with notorious sinners, with questionable people. See, religion always has a problem when you associate with what it considers questionable people. And here, they were trying to set Jesus up, and they asked, why does he eat with such scum? That's what it says in the New Living Translation. Terrible, isn't it? Why does he eat with such scum? And Jesus said, well, healthy people, they don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call sinners. And so literally, he's saying, I want to find the worst of them so I can make the best of them and the best for them. He said, I haven't come to save those that think they're already good enough. In other words, Jesus is saying mercy mingles. Everyone say mingles? Mingles. In this jingle season, get your mingle on. And mingle. Mercy mingles with brokenness and brings restoration. That's literally what Jesus is saying. Mercy mingles. It doesn't stand idly by. Mercy is present and participating. And literally, Jesus is saying, if you don't mingle, your sacrifices to God mean nothing. If you don't mingle, your sacrifices to God mean nothing. And so mercy gets involved in the mess of others without judgment. Without judgment, mercy gets involved. You see, religion judges, righteousness relates. Religion classifies, righteousness consolidates. Religion exposes, righteousness embraces. Religion denounces, righteousness promotes. And you see that in the walk of Jesus, in the talk of Jesus, in the actions of Jesus. So church, here's my Christmas message, Merry Christmas, for all of us today, and it's this: get your mercy on and keep it on. Get your mercy on. Have you got it on? Ask yourself that question. Have you got it on? Like that, what is it? Is that the insect repellent TV ad? Have you got it on? Or your slip, slop, slap? Don't go out without it. Have you got it on? Get it on. Get your mercy on and keep it on. You know, you look good when you're dressed in mercy. It suits you. It fits you. You shine when you wear mercy. You look like the church. You look like the church. We look like God followers. We look like believers when we're compassion in action. And so my closing thought is this, is practice mercy daily. Not just in the Christmas season. This is the Christ spirit. This is the Christ in us message for us in terms of how to live, to practice mercy daily. According to the Bible, and last time I read it, mercy really matters. It really matters. It's a message that really mattered to the heart of Jesus. It matters because we all need forgiveness. It matters because we all need restoration. It matters because we all have moments of destruction that happen in our lives. It matters because mercy is the one thing that really joins us all together in spite of our differences, that we can come together and show mercy to one another. It's mentioned by Jesus in a story. In the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told. Many of you have heard the story. It's a story that's often told. It's a story about the power and truth of mercy. And it personifies how we are to show mercy, the houtos, how we are to show mercy to each other. It reveals heaven's heart for people's hurts. It shows us how to live the love, the light, the mercy and the grace of God in practical ways. It was a story where Jesus was responding once again to a question from a religious expert who tested Jesus. And he said, "Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, what does the law say? How do you read it? How do you read the law of Moses?" And the expert said, "Well, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then, you know, love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "Well, do this and you will live." So then the expert poses another question to trick Jesus because he thought he had him. He said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus thought, okay, here we go. Now I'm going to show you who your neighbor is and who you need to be nice to. And Jesus responded with the story of a good Samaritan. He tells the story of a Jewish man on a journey that was attacked by bandits on the road. And he's literally left to die on the side of the road, beaten and bruised. And a Jewish priest comes along. And the Jewish priest sees him and crosses the road and avoids him. We would expect the priest to stop, but the priest doesn't. The priest walks on. Then the assistant priest comes. He goes one better. He walks over to the other side of the road where the man was lying. He looks at him and then he walks away. Then we have a Samaritan come along. The Bible says that he felt great pity. What did he feel? Compassion. He felt it and then he did something about it. The Bible says he bandaged the man up. He helped him with his wounds. He put him on his donkey, in other words, he put him in his BMW, and he drove him to the nearest city. He put him up in the Marriott, and he said, "Whatever his expenses are, I'll pay. I will look after this man." And then Jesus poses these thoughts in the next few verses. He says, "Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus asked. And the man replied, "Well, the one who showed him mercy." And then Jesus said, "Yes, now you go and do the same. You go and do the same." You know, mercy touches earth when we feel compassion and we take it to another level and we engage with mercy and we engage with humanity and we engage with brokenness. This is how we show mercy. This is the houtos. This is how we do this. Mercy is not a feeling. A feeling is good, but if the feeling doesn't move you, the feeling is wasted. Don't waste the feeling. Let the feeling come to fruition. And the fruition of the feeling is helping. It's mercy. It's getting involved. You know, everybody is our neighbour. That's the truth of this story. In the story, the man who helped was a Samaritan and he stopped to help a Jew. These two were enemies. These two despised each other. These two were at war with each other. These two didn't associate. These two didn't like each other. And yet, it was the Samaritan
that became the good one in this story. And Jesus tells it with that kind of broad definition because he wants us to understand everybody is our neighbor. So who do I have a responsibility to be merciful to? Everybody. Everybody. Not just the people I like. Not just the people that are like me. Not just the people that are close to me. But to people. All the people. To be nice, to be kind. And I love what our church has been doing over this Christmas period. On our Facebook social media page, reminding people of different acts of kindness that you can do every day. Just simple things. Just reminding people to be kind. It's kind of like a Kamal moment. Reminding you to be kind. To be kind. To be kind. To be kind. Why? Because we serve a kind and gracious and merciful God. We want our people in our communities to understand the true nature of who Jesus is and the true person that Jesus is, because I'm sure the Jesus they've been represented or had represented to them is not really the Jesus of the Scriptures, who went about everywhere doing good, who went about everywhere healing the sick, who went about everywhere helping people and lifting people rather than lowering people. We live in our world and we live in a community and we live in homes and we live in neighborhoods and we work in spaces where people get beaten up often. And what mercy does is mercy doesn't cross the road. Mercy doesn't walk over and have a look then walk away. Mercy gets involved. Mercy stoops, mercy stops, mercy engages, and mercy helps. So we love God. You love God. That's why you're here. I love God. The church loves God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. How do we do that? We do that by loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. We do that by loving others as we love ourselves. Who is my neighbor? Everybody that's on the journey of life is my neighbor. Whether they are red, yellow, black, or white, young, old, male, or female, employed, unemployed, vaccinated, unvaccinated. The category of the moment. Everybody. Would you stand to your feet? Father, we thank you today for Jesus. We celebrate Jesus because he has a message like no other. When you sent your son into the world, something really divine happened. Our world changed forever because the light of heaven began to shine in the darkness. And we could behold him and we could see his grace and truth perfectly fused. In that moment, your love reached down. In that moment, mercy touched earth. And in that moment, grace is among us. And I want to thank you today that that moment still extends to today. And that story and the ramifications of your intervention, your covert operation, as it became known, has changed our world forever. And there are people in this room today. There are people online today that carry stuff and that have stuff, and they felt the judgment and they felt the weight of the journey and the judgment of others. And we, the church, just want people to know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That Jesus came into this world for a reason and not just a season. He didn't come for a holiday, he came for a whole new way of living. And that's what we celebrate today. And you just want people to be free. And so if you're in this room today, if you're online today, and you carry the weight of people's judgments, you carry the weight of people's perspectives and opinions of you, let it go. Let it go. And receive and embrace the mercy of Jesus today for you. He believes in you. He loves you. He came for you. When they said Emmanuel, God with us, that is a reverberating us that goes on to eternity. It wasn't just those few people in that day. It was forever a gift for everybody, for all times. Father, help people to let go of the judgments, because judgment weighs heavy on a human heart. But mercy, there is just an amazing lightness to that. And so I pray, bring that today for my friends, my family, our church, people online today, just to receive your love and your presence. I'm going to pray for you right now, and I want to pray for people today that need to receive Jesus Christ into their heart and soul as Lord and Savior. This is the message of Christmas, that God so loved you that He wants to save you. He's done everything that needed to be done for that. All you need to do is place your confidence and your hope and your trust in Him today. And if you're online today and you're listening and you're wanting and you're needing to open up your heart to Jesus today and say, Lord, would you please come into my heart, my life? You may not understand everything there is to know about God, about life, about you. But what you do need to understand is this, is God knows and God loves and God believes in you today. And God has paid the price to lift the heaviness of life from you. The Bible says that He forgives us of all of our sins. And I want to pray that God will do that for you today. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for people in the room today. If you want to say yes to Jesus today, now's a good moment. There's not a better moment to do it. Now's the right moment to do it. You do it when you feel it. It's like mercy. You don't hold the feeling and wait to get involved. You get involved when you have the feeling. You give your life to Christ when you have the feeling of the need, I need to do this. So if you need to do it, you do it. And maybe you've done it before, yet you've walked away from God and you're far from God, but you've come with a friend today and you're here, you're in the room. Well, today's your moment. Today's your time. This is your opportunity to say, please pray for me. So I'm going to make it easy. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. And if you want to own this prayer, I want you to acknowledge that. I just want you to lift up your head. I'm not going to embarrass you. Everyone else is going to have their heads bowed, their eyes closed. I just want you to lift up your hand, and by doing that, you're saying, yes, Tony, would you please pray for me? And I'm going to pray for you today. I'm going to pray that God will come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, set you on a whole new journey, give you a brand new beginning this Christmas, that would be what God would do for you. So if you're online or you're in the room, and you want to say yes to Jesus, ask Him to come into your heart and soul right now, then would you please, while no one's looking around in the room, just lift up your hand nice and high, and I'm going to acknowledge your hand. I'll ask you to put it down, then I'm going to pray for you. If you're in the room today, would you lift up your hand? Let me see your hand, and I'll pray for you today. Pray that God would come to you, especially this Christmas. If you're online, if you comment in our comment section, just say yes. One of our team will respond to you and help you understand what we're wanting to help you do in terms of that. Just put yes in the comment section if you're online. If you're in the room, lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. I'm going to pray for you today in Jesus' name. Last time, if you're in the room, we're going to pray for you right now. We're going to pray online. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for people, Lord, that are leaning in and wanting to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior today. For people online today that are watching now, that will watch in the future, that want to say yes to Jesus. Help them today. Come into their hearts. Save them from their sins is what we pray. And may they know the presence and the comfort and the person of Jesus in their hearts and lives. I pray today in Jesus' name. And so, church, for all of us today, in terms of mercy, don't do what the song says when it says, show no mercy. Show it. And show it off. And show it loud. And show it proud. We're going to open up the cafe in a few moments. We've got some free hospitality for you today. Some special Christmas treats to stay around. And cafe's open to buy your coffee, hot drinks. Enjoy some connection with family and friends and meet some new people today. We're going to close with this carol. Why don't you lean in and just enjoy this moment? Oh.